Hour number two of 3D here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland and Derek Mason with you down here in Hoover, Alabama. Day two, SEC Media Days. So we continue to give you all of our coverage from 6 in the morning until 6 at night right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. All of our coverage down here brought to you by Pepper Boxing, Volunteer Hose and Gasket, and our transportation provided by Walker Chevrolet. We are expected to be joined here shortly by SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. We will talk to him. He kicked things off yesterday during our show. And today, well, actually not today, throughout this entire SEC Media Days, and he will do this through Thursday, unless he tells me otherwise. Derek, he's been going up and introducing the coaches. He's kind of like a presenter. You've ever been to, you know, you've been to award shows. He's a presenter.
Is he?
Kind of gets up and says a little snippet about each coach and says, "Now I now give you
such
Derek Mason. I now give you Kirby Smart." Those are the first two coaches up today. Georgia, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, and Florida today. It's pretty interesting what John Chris said there. Good guess there in the first hour. Ron Higgins and then John Chris from Saturday down south talking about the embarrassment of riches with the running backs, and then what he said about the quarterbacks, where a lot of hype, a lot of talk, not sure they're as talented as maybe they're getting built up to be. That's natural for that position. How did you feel about those comments? Agree, disagree?
If you look at it, I guess. Running back, yeah. With the guys that are returning, the guys that he named off, the talent you see each individual having. These are guys that have ran the ball effectively. Then you look at the quarterbacks. Yes, Stidham, he had a nice little stint at Baylor, but ended up leaving Baylor. Obviously, the transfer to Auburn. You have whether it's Alabama's second-year quarterback, whether it's UT don't know who their quarterback is. Well, maybe they know.
Well, they don't.
Yeah, but they don't.
What's happening? Just not telling us.
Yeah, they're just not going to tell us. Florida, the uncertainty at quarterback. I know Missouri has a pretty good quarterback. So if you look at all of these teams, Kelly leaving Ole Miss, if you look at all of these teams, yes, there are guys that have taken snaps under center, but there are not guys that are proven consistently that they can go and win ball games. And I know everyone will point to Alabama and say, "Well, Jalen Hurts, this past season he got his team to a national championship." Well, if you look at it, they didn't really put a lot on his plate. They did some other things. The defense played fantastic, and they did just enough. They didn't allow him to lose games for them. That's what Alabama did. Now, second year in, will Nick Saban put more on his plate? Will he allow him, as he did Sims, to win games for him, as he did, McElroy? Will he do that with Hurts this season? We don't know.
You like Hurts a lot, don't you?
I like Hurts. If you watch Hurts, and I told you, he reminds me of Russell Wilson. He really does. And I know we will get back to this because we have the commissioner that just stepped up to our table. So we'll really get back to this. But I explained to you why he reminds me so much of Russell Wilson and why I think if Nick Saban does just let go and let this kid play, he will be phenomenal.
That's interesting. I'm looking forward to hearing the comparison of the two. We are now joined by SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. He's been nice enough to stop by our table. He is multitasking, as I mentioned earlier before he got down here, Derek. For 4 days, he is the commissioner. He kicks things off, and now he's a presenter. If you've ever been to an award show, he's a presenter. He gets up there and presents you the head coach at the podium and then turns it over to them. Commissioner, how you doing?
I'm doing well. It's day two, and I still have some gas left in the tank, so we're in good shape.
Well, I hope you're not on empty.
I hope it's not on empty or half.
Thursday by 2 o'clock.
So what's been the reaction, you getting up there, saying a little thing about the coach, and then turning it over to them? I heard Kirby Smart this morning. He was very happy the way you presented him. What's been the communication back
and forth? We think it's been well received. We started that last year. And just trying to each year have a conversation about keeping media days fresh. You know, it is what it is. It's a lot of conversation. And I know these coaches. I work with them. And part of it's just a recognition that you have these relationships. And we visit a little bit before and kind of turn it over to them. So hopefully it's been well received. It's good to see them. And I always have a chance for about 15 or 20 minutes to sit and listen to their comments, which I'm always interested in hearing heading into the season.
I don't want this to come off badly, but I do want to get your, because a lot of times in your position, and look, the guys before you, Mike Slive, unbelievable job. I mean, the way this conference has been built leading up to you taking over, but at times it's powerful. It can be at times viewed as a suit and stuffy. You don't really have that approach. You're quoting U2. We see you in Nashville all the time. You're at Predators games. You're in and out of the building, which, by the way, we'll get to in a moment.
Okay.
You're kind of out there doing other things that kind of makes everybody feel a lot more comfortable with just, and you probably get approached because people feel like they're comfortable with the way you go about your business.
Yeah, I was in.
By the way, that's a compliment.
Yeah,
so
no, I took it that way. I was in line for coffee Saturday before July 4th, some guy just comes up to me and has got some sales idea, you know, like kind of a diagnostic tool for competitive athletes. Like, you know, and I couldn't, like, I'm trying to go get half and half of the venti Starbucks. I'm like, dude, seriously, it's July 3rd. Give me a moment. So that's maybe just the other reality. But Bernie Matchin was the president of Florida when I was going through the search process, and he retired, and he said, I'm just going to give you the best advice I can, which is Greg needs to be Greg. And what you've described is me. Now, there are changes that have happened. You don't do this for a couple of years and not adapt. Probably a little bit more guarded in some moments than I would be normally, you know, the representation of that particular coffee conversation. But, you know, you have to live and you have to be yourself. And I'm not going to be very good at being Mike Slive. He was great at it. I'm not going to be very good at being Roy Kramer. He was great at it. So what you see is a manifestation of who I am. And hopefully that's understood as genuine, because I don't know any other way to live.
The run was magical, and we talked about it so much on this show. And I can't remember when the times I saw you at Bridgestone Arena, because I'm usually camped out in Barrel
I'll tell
House.
You, the two home losses were the two games.
Are you serious? Those are the two games you went to?
I apologize to Sean Henry right there.
Oh,
I
mean, man. You were at game six
I
of
was.
The Stanley Cup
yeah.
final, and then Anaheim.
The Anaheim game
four.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I was out in L.A. For that great win. I was not at the game. I was at a U2 concert. but I was in the same city. So it's not me in the same city. It was... I wore the wrong shirt, I guess. I shouldn't have brought the ball
cap. We will not let the Predators hear that.
Yeah. He knows.
They want you in the
Sean
building.
Knows.
He does.
It was great. But, yeah, so if
just
we can talk
about that.
Yeah. I used to have season tickets when I lived in Dallas for the Dallas Stars. And getting to work with Sean and the Predators organization has really been outstanding. You know, the vision to move there on really a permanent basis that we kicked off in, 2012. We have the newspaper, front page of the Tennessean announcing that, hanging on a wall in our offices, because it's an important place for us. Yesterday I was asked about home for the Southeastern Conference, and you could say we have three homes. Our office is obviously here, but what we do in Atlanta is important. What we've done in Nashville is incredibly important, and it's great to work with them. And then to transition to hockey, I've been up for a number of regular season games. We were there for the Game 6 against San Jose last year. That overtime goal,
yeah.
People don't understand how hard it was. I may have said this to you, how hard that shot is. Backhand, full speed, over the goalie's far shoulder, far post corner was phenomenal. Arvidsson hit that, made that shot. And then I tried to come up, and Sean asked me right away, and I just didn't have time. And I love hockey. It is the best sport from a competitive standpoint through a season. Just to be in the arena. I love football, love basketball, but it's just different. I don't think about their officiating. I just watch and enjoy the game. And so we got to come up for the Anaheim series and then for game six. So I think that my presence was happenstance given the the results, but the atmosphere that was created.
What did you think about inside and outside?
I thought that every one of our campuses needs to sit down with the Predators staff and learn about game presentation and marketing. We do a great job on our campuses, but they really took it to, I hate this phrase I'm about to use, another level. And then outside, the first game I was at, we hadn't generated or hadn't seen the downtown dynamic play out. I think that first Anaheim game is when it started to build and then just built upon itself. And walking down for game six, and I think it was that Luke Bryan was on top of the building. Mm-hmm. I didn't even make it to Broadway because it was just a crush. And I was staying at the top of the Omni looking down. It was just a great scene. And I think it shows you what sports can do for a community. And I'm looking forward to Vanderbilt having that same kind of experience in any number of sports. And we've seen it in baseball as people rally around. But Nashville showed what it could do around that Stanley Cup playoff run.
Now, Commissioner, have you, and I'm pretty sure you have, and you just talked about Hoover being the home of the SEC. And each time I've been down here, and it's been wonderful. But as anything goes, you would try to allow every city to experience, every SEC city to experience what goes on SEC Media Day. Have you guys really had talks about potentially moving this without hurting Hoover? Because, if you take it out, obviously, from an economic standpoint, it takes a little bit away from them.
Yeah, Hoover's been a great home, Derek, and you've identified that. But it is on my mind. It is on our mind. We have talked about as our footprint has grown. The opportunities to hold this event in different settings to see where it may be embraced, just like it has been in Hoover. We wouldn't walk away permanently, but maybe some movement might be healthy. We haven't made any decisions, but it's the right kind of conversation. And I'll just give you an example. We're going to play a basketball tournament in St. Louis next year. With our agreement and how we rotate men's basketball in Nashville. Women's basketball will be in Nashville this coming March. But our men's tournament goes to St. Louis. We've never been in St. Louis, but that's part of our geographic footprint with the University of Missouri. And that same thing can be true, I think, with this event. We'll just try to make the right decision. I don't know when, and I don't know where right now, but it's certainly the right topic of conversation.
Now, everyone understands what happened last year with Florida and LSU. And I know there's nothing you could have done as a commissioner. It was all based on weather. And I'm pretty sure that you wish you had something in place last year so it didn't happen. What mechanisms are put in place this year so that doesn't occur again when, because of weather, you can't do anything as a conference?
Yeah, and even beyond weather is things in culture in the world are different. We have to realize that we could have rapidly developing situations like that weather dynamic. So there are two policies change. One is to make very clear in our commissioner's regulations that you have to play all eight conference games in order to be in Atlanta, period. So that motivates people to get the games played, which the schools were last year. We just need to make it explicit. The other is to give the commissioner authority to designate when a game is played.
Okay.
And what happened last year is that we have to agree in a three-way, really between, I can postpone a game, which given the circumstance was the right thing to do on that Saturday, just like we did in South Carolina for the Georgia game. But then the two schools have to agree, and the commissioner is not designated as the authority to place the game. That's just the way our policies worked. And when you come to an impasse, it became difficult. We got the game played. We came to that point. LSU will be in Gainesville for the next 2 years. Florida was in Baton Rouge for 2 years, and that was the outcome. Not something I want to go through again.
Exactly.
I can assure you of that. That's why we've made those changes, and we'll work closely with our schools on their contingency planning as well.
Last thing real quick, how cool was it for Omaha, and what happened in the women's basketball tournament?
Three circumstances. Madison Square Garden, Florida, South Carolina, Elite Eight final was awesome. Mm-hmm. So that was my first experience, which warmed me up for the next week, which was the women's Final Four, and our fans turned out. Both of those arenas were packed. That's what is great about the Southeastern Conference. New York City, Madison Square Garden, packed for an SEC basketball game. Dallas, packed for an SEC basketball game. Omaha, packed for an SEC baseball game. And, you know, you have to congratulate the winning coach, but you have to also – you have a losing coach. So you have a coach and a team that didn't realize their objective. So that's less fun than you would think. But not having the pressure and the anxiety of, is the SEC going to win a national championship, is a luxury that I'll take.
Good to see you as always.
Good to see you guys.
Thank you for being here. I'll see you in Nashville again soon.
Well, you will. I assure you of that.
SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, appreciate him joining us here at our table. We'll take a quick break and come back with more of 3D next. Table down on Radio Row, yeah,
yes.
Proud to say.
We're moving up, like the Jeffersons. Moving on up.
And right now we are doing the George Jefferson dance.
To the
you just
east
can't
side.
See it.
In the deluxe apartment in the sky. We're third from
are
the
you,
top.
Are you in the deluxe apartment in the sky?
Yeah.
Your room?
Well, no, ninth floor, so okay. I guess I'm a little bit ways from it.
Okay.
But, I mean, that's cool. I can still see a nice little view. No trees obstruct my view, so that's good.
We do appreciate always Greg Sankey popping by, SEC Commissioner. And I thought it was interesting. By the way, we'll have Frank Frangie join us at the bottom of the hour. I thought it was interesting, your question to him. I gather you were asking him, hey, it's always here in Hoover. I get it. SEC headquarters, you know, this is their hub in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. But you do spend a lot of time in Nashville. You do spend a lot of time in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. You thought about moving this thing around, right? Was that the
because
crux of your question there?
Yeah, because if you look at it, Darren, and we talk so much, and we're biased, and we will admit that, and we're partial because we live in the city. But we talk so much about how wonderful Nashville is, how much Nashville has grown in the last decade, and it's the It City. And you know, people listen to us, and you might have some people say, well, you guys are partial. You know, you live in the city, so, yeah, you're going to say Nashville is great. But, no, it's not just that. If you've watched what the Preds went through and the people out on Broadway, even people wanting to fly in from other cities just to be here and experience that. Then the commissioner even talked about him, you know, taking time out of his busy week, his busy time of being commissioner, just to attend, you know, Predators games there in Nashville. We've seen him on several occasions where he's been down in Nashville for work, but, you know, he's enjoyed being there as well. And it just, it would behoove the commissioner to really look at maximizing the SEC's footprint, meaning wherever team is, you should start moving this thing around, because then I think you generate even more money for the SEC. The NFL got smart and they said, what? You know what? We're not just going to exclusively have the draft in New York. We're going to move this thing around, because we can benefit from moving it to Philadelphia, moving it to Chicago. We can benefit from doing that. And I think Commissioner Sankey is looking at that from afar and thinking, you know what? We can be the pioneers in this from a collegiate standpoint. Because I guarantee you, the minute the SEC starts to move, what happens? Everybody else starts to move. Now you're having the Big Ten no longer just having it in Chicago. They're having it in Detroit. They're having it in Ohio. Other places, their footprint on the East Coast. They're having it on the East Coast. So I just think it would be good. It would be great for this division to not just handcuff yourself to Hoover. Even though, you know, my last three times, as I said, it's been great down here, you know, just visiting the city. But I would like for it to be in Atlanta. I would like for it to be, no doubt, in Nashville. You know, further down south in Tallahassee somewhere. Not Tallahassee, but Gainesville. I would like for it to be in Florida somewhere. But most importantly, to me, Nashville would be the next ideal place. If he's saying, okay, we're going to do this, where should we go first?
Well, Nashville not only makes sense because it's a great city, mm-hmm. as we know, and it's a great place, mm-hmm. a place everybody wants to be. It's centrally located
exactly.
for everybody. I mean, when you start going down to Florida, this is why I don't really love the St. Louis. Yeah, that's great mm-hmm. for Missouri, mm-hmm. but is it great for everybody else?
Exactly, yeah.
Is it great for the folks at South Carolina? Is it great for the folks at Florida? Is it great for the folks at Georgia? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Nashville is pretty
central.
And let's be real honest, okay? This thing has outgrown Hoover, yeah. Alabama, okay? We know. We're sitting here in the belly of this thing. Mm-hmm. It's outgrown. There's over 1,000 media members. It's only going to keep growing. It's not going to go the other way.
Oh, no.
Okay, Radio Row has been spilling out into the mall for years. Luckily, we're in row 3 up by the front. I don't know what happened if you or Floyd, somebody pulled some strings.
I'm going to blame down Floyd, a good blame.
But somebody got us up when little Nikki comes in here tomorrow. We'll be right here front and center. But this thing has been outgrown. Upstairs, that room, mm-hmm. it can't hold everybody anymore.
No, no.
And so there's nothing wrong with Hoover, Alabama. There's nothing wrong with the Winfrey Hotel. It's nice here. But this conference has outgrown this setup. Mm-hmm. They need something bigger. Why not in Nashville? I mean, we could go down the list. I mean, how many places could accommodate and host this?
The Music City Center is it's right there. You can do it there.
Oh, I mean, we could go on and on. I
exactly.
mean, there's plenty of great places to do this. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're going to do it in a hotel here, I mean, there's plenty of hotels. You don't think the Downtown Omni could accommodate this?
They would love to accommodate it. Oh, my goodness.
And look where that's located.
Central, right downtown.
So I thought that was interesting. We'll have that. We'll come back and touch on this again a little bit later and hear the commissioner. I don't want to put words in his mouth if you were listening to the conversation or if you didn't hear it.
Well, I'm going to put words in his mouth. I think he wants to move
well,
it.
Well, I was going to say, I kind of, if you listened to his answer, it sounded like, yeah. I mean, we're definitely exploring that. It's something we're talking about. I mean, he made sure to mention, well, that doesn't mean we're going to permanently leave. Mm-hmm. It just means that he is definitely thinking about exploring of picking this thing up and moving it around, which it should.
Well, it would be that would be the responsible thing to do, because I'm pretty sure in these other cities, the fan bases would love to have SEC Media Days. I'm just looking out in the lobby of the Winfrey Hotel. Just think if you had it at the Omni, how many more people, how many more fans could be in a lobby waiting on coaches and waiting on players? Like you said, this place, the SEC Media Days has outgrown Hoover. It just has. Now, if the Winfrey Hotel wants to do some renovations and open up their lobby even bigger, then okay. But right now, as we sit, SEC Media Days has outgrown Hoover, Alabama. That it has outgrown the Winfrey Hotel. And having it someplace like Nashville at the Omni Hotel, then that would be completely different. It would be best for the conference, I think.
Another guy that was at ESPN for a long time, 16 years, on the move, Mark Schlereth, mm-hmm. is going to FS1, going to Fox.
Oh, wow. Everybody's either you know, shown their papers at ESPN, or they're leaving because they're reading the tea leaves. They're reading the tea leaves, and they're saying, listen, I'm getting out now before I'm forced out.
I don't want to be that next guy.
Yeah, I don't want to be that next guy on the list.
Mark Schlereth out at ESPN heading to FS1 after 16 years in Bristol. We will come back. Frank Frangie, Gridiron Now in Jacksonville, also the Jags voice, 1010 XL. No, okay. We're going to wait a little bit on him. We'll come back a little bit later. Kyle Shermer, Vanderbilt quarterback, will join us in just a bit. Our coverage from SEC Radio Row continuing on, brought to you by Pepper Boxing, Volunteer Hose and Gasket, and our transportation provided by Walker Chevrolet. We'll be back.
Yeah, Hoover's been a great home, Derek, uh-huh. and you've identified that, but it is on my mind. It is on our mind. We have talked about as our footprint has grown, the opportunities to hold this event in different settings to see where it may be embraced, just like it has been in Hoover. We wouldn't walk away permanently, but maybe some movement might be healthy. We haven't made any decisions, but it's the right kind of conversation. And I'll just give you an example. We're going to play a basketball tournament in St. Louis next year. Mm-hmm. With our agreement and how we rotate men's basketball in Nashville, women's basketball will be in Nashville this coming March. but our men's tournament goes to St. Louis. We've never been in St. Louis, but that's part of our geographic footprint with the University of Missouri. And that same thing can be true, I think, with this event. We'll just try to make the right decision. I don't know when, and I don't know where right now, but it's certainly the right topic of conversation.
Good stuff. That was Greg Sankey on with us to kick off this hour. That was Derek's question, as you just heard. And, of course, he was not going to tip his hand, but that was pretty interesting, the fact that he did not shy away from that at all. I mean, yesterday he was asked as he kicked off SEC Media Days about, you know, the remember how we talked about the imbalance of the East earlier in the show and how the West is so a lot more loaded and top-heavy than the East. But somebody's got to come out of the East, and he was asked yesterday about realignment of the divisions, and of course he quickly shot that down and just said that's just something we don't ever talk about, and it was pretty quick, and that was that. And he could have easily shot that down and said that's just, you know, something that I haven't even really thought about. That's something that hasn't even really come to mind. Could have done that,
yeah,
or just said, you know we've tossed it around, but it's hasn't gone anywhere to this point, but maybe it'll get revisited down the road. That was not his answer. It wasn't his answer at all. In fact, without tipping his hand, it sounded to me like an answer that is absolutely on the top of his mind and something that he is thinking about. And my guess it would be if he's thinking about it, it'll be sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where change is inevitable. And things can't stay status quo forever. And he, especially when dealing with conferences, big business, as I would call it, you know, things can't stay the same, especially if everything around you is changing. When you can read the tea leaves and you see, you know what, we need to get ahead of this or that. And he sees that, you know, this is something that they need to get ahead of. This is something that is coming down a pipeline. So why not address it now or start, you know, putting things in motion now so when it does happen, you know, no one's in shock. We're better prepared to make that transition as not just the commissioner but as an SEC in a whole. You know, and I'm pretty sure, you know, us broaching that question, you know, to him, it's not the first time, obviously it's not the first time that he's thought about it or heard it. But I think the more and more you hear or the more and more that question is asked, the more and more you think about it as a commissioner, the more and more you come together as a unit and say, you know what? There's something to this. We need to seriously think about it as a conference.
He knows what market he was talking to.
Oh, of course.
He knows what you were truly asking without saying, hey, you coming to Nashville? Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, that's what you're asking.
Yeah.
He knows that. And the fact that he didn't dodge it and the fact that he didn't downplay it, I'm not saying it's going to happen next year. I'm saying if he's thinking about it, then to me, it's something the commissioner's smart. He's got a lot of smart people he works with. He's smart. They look around. They know they've outgrown this.
Exactly.
They want to be sensitive. This is their home. This is their headquarters. And they don't want to take everything away from Birmingham. We know it's vital for their economy to have all these things. They've already been asked over and over and over again about moving baseball out of here. They haven't done that to this point. You know, we know Nashville was putting in a bid. They decided to keep it here. They decided to upgrade. And I know he wants to be sensitive. He just doesn't want to pick up and move. And I'm not trying to put words in his mouth. But he knows the lay of the land. He looks around. My guess is there's probably people privately in those offices that said, you know what? Wouldn't be a bad idea if our headquarters was in Nashville.
I think they want to be the first to do this.
And if we can't pick up and move our headquarters there, then maybe we pick up and do some more things there.
Yeah, because if you look at it, which conference, and correct me on this, which conference was first to have a network. I think it was the Big Ten Conference. Big Ten was the first.
They were kind of the pioneer.
Yeah, they were the pioneers. And then now the SEC, they have taken it and they've ran with it. They've upgraded even more. Sankey doesn't want to be second again. He doesn't want to look and see, you know what, the ACC is moving it around. I don't know if they are or not, but he doesn't want to see that. He doesn't want to see the Big Ten moving their media days around. He doesn't want to see the Pac-12 do that. I want to be first. I want to be the pioneer in this. I want to be first. And I think now it's truly gotten to a situation where he walks into the wind free every year, and every year his trek through here gets tighter and tighter, and he goes up to these meeting rooms and is getting tighter and tighter, and he's thinking, we need to move. At least give other cities an opportunity, other bigger cities an opportunity to host this thing. It's not a bad thing. It would help the SEC rather than hurt the SEC.
Well, it's the biggest conference gathering
exactly.
of anybody. You could put all the other four of the Big Five.
And still wouldn't equal it.
Equal this.
Yeah.
No, if you put them all together in a room, it wouldn't equal what goes on here around
the coverage
these 4 days.
Everything else.
I mean, it's a big production. You've got the SEC Network. You've got ESPN. You've got, you know, all these radio stations here in Radio Row. I don't know what the number is. What do you think? There's 30 something. There'd probably like to be a lot more. There's just no room.
There's no room to put them.
I mean, Derek, when I first started coming here, I mean, there were a handful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a dozen?
Wow.
I mean, you could move all day in this Radio Row area.
Yeah, you can.
Now it's hard to – my guess is people get turned away. It's just outgrown this, and I know that he wants to be sensitive about it, but to me, you got to pick up and you got to – if you're going to be the biggest – and the baddest, then you need to make sure that you can accommodate what you have going on. And this thing is outgrown where we sit today.
Well, he's already done it with the men's basketball. Was it men's basketball that they're moving from city to city now?
Well, and they've –
yeah.
But still, it's Nashville's getting the bulk.
Exactly. But he understands that, okay, moving this thing is a good thing for the SEC. And now it's not just basketball. It's how about just moving the SEC Media Day to other cities within our conference? Because it's only going to help. And obviously Nashville is one place that I think they would love to move to first. And I think if everything goes right with Nashville, I know everything will go right with Nashville. Like you said, making it their hub, you know, making Nashville a place that, you know what, we're going to do everything from Nashville, and then we'll venture out to everyone else. Because, frankly, to me, and I'm biased again, it's the best city around, especially when you're talking SEC football. It's the best city. So why not have it in the best city? Hands down, it's the best city.
It's not even, and
that's not me being, you know, biased. I think people that have come to Nashville, it's the best city. When you're talking SEC football, it's the best city.
I think we're getting the thumbs up from Larry Leather, so we'll come back with Kyle Shermer, Vanderbilt quarterback, to wrap up hour number two of 3D. We'll do that next. Day two of SEC Media Days rolling right along. Darren and Derek with you live here on Radio Row. Georgia, Mississippi State, Florida, and our next guest, their school, Vanderbilt, of course, on West End, right there in Nashville where we're located. And their quarterback has been nice enough to pop by, Kyle Shermer, as he's wrapping up day two. Kyle, how you doing?
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
How was it upstairs?
It was great. It was great.
You lived to tell about it?
Was it nerve-wracking?
No, it wasn't too bad. Got to dress up real nice. Tell you what.
It's a nice suit. I like it.
No, I think we're the best-looking team here, that's for
sure.
Okay.
I like
but
that.
It's been fun. It's been a lot of fun.
Did you get a chance to talk to Ralph about it since he's, you know, I mean, this is just old hat for him.
No, I know. I've never seen a person so obsessed with how he dressed. He told me all about it, and you know, it's been it's pretty smooth so far.
Just talk about your progression and how things came along, because it was very clear the first half of the season to the second half of the season last year, things change for you? What changed?
I think just us as an offense as a whole, we grew throughout the year. I think we had a lot of young guys, and I think as we grew with experience, you get that consistency. Saw flashes throughout the year, especially early on, of, you know, we could do some, you know, big time things. What you saw later on in the year is us consistently doing that and playing efficient offense and you know, putting the ball in the end zone. And I think, you know, that's really what was separated us from the first half of the year, is consistently playing at a high level, doing it all the time as opposed to some of the time.
Well, somebody that was very consistent, Kyle, for you guys has been Ralph Webb in the backfield.
Yep.
What is it like to have a guy like that that you know you can, you guys can depend on him in your offensive schemes because of what he does?
Yeah, I mean, Ralph plays with a chip on his shoulder. You guys see him running the ball really well, but, you know, he embraces the role of being a complete back. And what you guys really don't see is behind the scenes. He's a great person, great teammate, great leader, and we're very lucky to have him.
Did things slow down for you at this level?
Yeah.
I mean, you always I like to talk to guys, whether they're rookies in the NFL or younger guys in college. Do things slow down the more time, more seat time you get?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. You learn through experience, and every time, you know, you step foot on the field, you know, you gain so much more knowledge, so much more, you know, playing time. And until you're really thrown into the fire, you experience failure, you experience adversity and success as well, I think you really learn and you grow. So, yeah, definitely as I've, you know, us as a whole, really as an offense as a whole, as long as, you know, we've, you know, as we went through the year, I think we learned a lot and we really grew.
I know Derek's going to ask you about your dad, because your dad actually coached Derek when he was in East Lansing at Michigan State.
A long time ago.
Your dad's obviously been around the game for a long time. So
yeah.
How much, what is one, what has he meant to you in your life, and how much do you try to pick his brain, or do you, as you've, you know, progressed here at Vanderbilt?
Yeah, I mean, my dad's, he's been a father first, and that's the coolest thing. He's a coach second. He never really forced football upon me, and you know, I always had the opportunity to be around, you know, NFL facilities and college facilities growing up. So that was awesome. I just thought it was really cool, but he never forced football upon me. And but if I wanted to talk to him about football, I mean, he'd talk my ear off. So so there was that.
Did you know that football was going to be your sport of choice, or was that, you know, was there maybe something else in play?
Yeah, I mean, my mom was a swimmer in college, and my sisters and I swam, like, growing up. But I wanted to play football, obviously. There's no shot.
So Michael Phelps didn't sway you into the pool?
Not at all. Not at all.
Now, looking at what you did last year, and we have had Coach Mason on. We would have him on every week. Mm-hmm. And we would talk about, you know, the struggles that the offense had. Mm-hmm. And he would always tell us, listen, we're getting there. You know, we haven't lost confidence in Kyle. We're getting there. We're doing some things to kind of help him out. But as a player, how do you manage? Because you guys were able to keep it all together amidst a lot of the noise from the outside. What's going on with Kyle Sherman? What's going on with the offense? They're not, you know, moving the ball efficiently like we thought they would. How were you and the team able to kind of keep it all together?
I think we play for each other. We don't play for anybody else. And I think we play hard for our teammates. I think we stay true to ourselves. I'm a realist. I know what I do well. I don't know what I don't do well. And, you know, I think we all, you know, played for each other, and we grew together. And it was great to put, you know, some good performances late in the year. And I think you saw throughout the year, you know, our progression.
Now, you end up losing your starting center to graduation. And as you know, the center is kind of an extension. It is an extension of the quarterback.
Yeah.
But you do have three returning starters on the offensive line. Just talk about those three guys and how important it is to have at least some cohesiveness amongst that offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, Justin School played right tackle. He's going to be our left tackle this year. Very smart guy. Great player. Love having him. Bruno Reagan played guard for us last year. He's going to be a great player. Was like a wrestler in high school, so he knows how to move guys and everything. So, yeah, goofy guy, but love him to death. And there's Ian Pfeiffer, who played last year. Same deal, love him to death. Great guy, works really hard, great lineman. And those two guys have really worked hard, you know, and worked together to really, you know, take control of that offensive line.
Exactly. Now talk a little bit also how playing against Derek Mason's defense in practice, how much better that made you at recognizing defenses, because from what I gather, he loves to throw a lot at you,
yeah,
and you have to process it very quickly. But just talk about that and how that was that experience what helped you during the regular season.
I mean, I got some advice from Jordan Matthews to treat every practice like it's game day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously we're not getting hit around in practice or
exactly.
anything. That's not game day. But but we played a great defense. We practiced against a great defense every day. And that only made us as an offense better. And we're very fortunate of that. And I think, just working against them makes us all better. Mm.
How hungry are you guys knowing the way the season ends? You come off these two highs, incredible highs ending the regular season, beating Ole Miss, beating Tennessee at home. Then you get a little bit of a break. You prepare for your bowl game, and then the bowl game didn't go the way. How much hunger did you kind of in the off season to get back to where you the way it ended and kind of fix that?
Mm-hmm. I think you saw we compared it to that bowl game. We had some struggles earlier in the year. And I think we got out of those towards the end of the regular season. And I think, like, we took a step back in that bowl game. It looked more like the first half of the year. So that's frustrating. It's a shame we didn't send the seniors off the right way. But if anything, we're going to learn from it, and it's going to make us more hungry. It has made us more hungry this offseason. And going into bowl season next year, we're going to know what to expect.
You'll have to score some points against Middle to kick off the season.
Oh yeah,
they're pretty good on offense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're a tremendous team. Everybody talks about these great SEC teams, but our full focus right now is on beating MTSU. They got a great squad, played in the past 2 years, played us close, and we got all the respect in the world for them, and we're looking forward to the challenge.
I have really good news for you. Larry Leathers is going to whisk you away, and you get to go back home.
Larry, the bodyguard over here.
He is.
He's the best.
Hey,
he's the best.
Thanks for doing this. Good
thanks
to talk
so much.
To you.
Well, tell your dad I said hello to as
awesome.
Well.
Appreciate it.
Yep,
Vanderbilt
no problem.
Quarterback Kyle Shurmur. Appreciate him stopping by here, Radio Row. His day is complete. He gets to head back to Nashville. Appreciate him joining us. Georgia, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, and Florida here on day two of SEC Media Days. And they will kick off their season against MTSU. That should be an exciting
be fun.
Game down in Murfreesboro on September 2nd.
That will be a fun game. We saw what happened last year with those two teams. And even though MTSU plays in a different conference, a lesser conference, Coach Stock has those guys playing. And anytime you play it's kind of like I say inner city rivalry, but I know they're in Murfreesboro, but it's so close.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and those, I'm pretty sure those guys played against each other in high school.
I was at the game last
year. And they see each other out when they're out.
There's no question. That was the lightning strike.
Yeah.
The lightning delay for a couple of hours. And then coming back from the delay, Vanderbilt just took over.
Exactly.
And I think they hung on almost 50 on
Yeah, because before
MTSU.
That, it was a close game.
Right, it was a close game. And then after the delay, Vanderbilt just took over. So good to talk to Kyle Shurmur. Look, whether he wants to believe it or not, there's a lot riding on his play.
Oh,
and
yes.
And how he plays is how Vanderbilt goes. A lot of that, right? I mean, we know
Absolutely.
That. We'll come back hour number three. We'll have a little Georgia flavor, SEC Media Days, when we come back on 3D, 102.5 The Game.